Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I'm not even really listening to the words, man. I just like the beat. I like, you know, it's just such a complex melody. And I had all this, you know, all the excuses that people come up with. I had every single one of those excuses. And so I stopped listening to that for a period of time, and I was just listening to Christian music. And one of the cool things about the times we're living in is you can get any genre of Christian music that you want to. There's really no excuse. And so I'm just listening to nothing but Christian music, and it blew me away because I worked in construction every once in a while, and I had control of the radio, so I could play whatever I wanted. And so I'm just listening to Christian music. All the guys are listening to Christian music, whether they wanted to or not, I didn't care. And there would be times when we're on a track and there's a job right next door to us and somebody's blaring out songs that I used to listen to, Steve Miller Band and all of that stuff. And I did not realize what the words were until I'm listening to it from the house next door, and they're saying all this stuff, and I'm like, that song is nothing but filthy. And I didn't realize that stuff was going into my head, and it was just planted there. There are things that need to go. And if those things are tearing you down and messing you up and making your relationship distant from the Lord, then it needs to go. It just get rid of it. Throw it in the creek, basically. And one of the things that I had to deal with was that a lot of my albums, I had some good albums. And I was sitting there thinking of, you know, when I was going to get rid of them, I was like, okay, what am I going to do with these? I could sell them. I could make some money off these things. And then I was like, but I'm just taking this filth and I'm passing it on to somebody else. And this is before rap, you guys. And so I'm just passing this nonsense on to somebody else. And so finally what I ended up doing was just going down to the dumpster and busting up records and throwing them in the dumpster. And, you know, a number of people, you know, I was never really into drugs and stuff like that, but, you know, there were people who came out of the drug lifestyle. And so you guys know what a bong is? They can get pretty spendy. And so I had friends that came out of the drug lifestyle, they give their life to Jesus and they're taking their bong, they're going down to the dumpster and they're busting it on the side of the dumpster. And into the dumpster it goes. And what you see is a repentance. You see a turning away from this nonsense. You see a turning away from the lifestyle. You see a cleansing that takes place. And there needs to be a cleansing that takes place if you're going to follow the Lord. Verse 15, it says, then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. So not only was there a cleansing of Jerusalem and getting rid of the altars, but there was a cleansing of the people themselves. When it says that the priests were ashamed, the reason that the priests are ashamed is because they're not already cleansed. There was a ceremonial cleansing that had to take place before you could do work in the temple. And so if you had, for example, touched a dead body, you weren't allowed to work in the temple for 7 days, and you went through a cleansing process and that kind of thing. There were other things that caused you to be ceremonially unclean, and usually what priests were doing was making sure that they were always okay so that they could do the work of God. And in our instance, we don't have those physical things that make us unclean, but there are spiritual things that make you unclean. And so if you want to do the work of God, you need to be clean. You need to be prayed up. You need to have your heart purified before you ever go out and claim to be doing anything that Jesus wants you to be doing. I don't care what it is. You know, you're witnessing to a friend. You need to be clean before you start witnessing to a friend. This is just practically how this goes. There were a number of times when people would ask me stuff about following Jesus, and I had just blown it, and I didn't want to say a word to them. And so maybe I blew it in the area of lust, or maybe I blew it in the area of temper, or maybe I blew it in the other, I blew it in some area. And inevitably, as soon as when I blew it in some area, some guy on my crew or some guy that, you know, I just kind of knew, you know, who was just an acquaintance, would ask me about Jesus. And every time that would happen, all that's blaringly in front of me is what I had just done. And the fact that I was such a jerk. I'm just kind of built that way. And the fact that I was such a jerk, and I didn't want to say a word to them because I felt like nothing but a total and complete hypocrite. And so the Bible talks about the fact that we need to have the breastplate of righteousness on. And the breastplate of righteousness, basically, it protects your torso. It protects your heart, basically. And that's what practical righteousness does in the life of a believer. It protects your heart, so that you don't feel like a complete hypocrite. You're not any of us are ever going to be perfect. But if I have a heart that wants to just walk with God and walk in purity before God, if I will yield myself to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do in those areas, I have a lot less of those moments where I feel like a complete jerk or I don't want to say anything because I've done something really, really stupid. You know what I mean? And so there needs to be purity. And what these guys were doing, it was a situation where they were impure, and it was because of a lack of desire. And admittedly, there wasn't a lot of opportunity, because up until this point, before Hezekiah comes into power, we're not doing anything in the temple. In fact, there were idols in the temple. There were false altars in the temple. And so there's not a lot of work going on in the temple. And so these guys didn't need to be purified. And so when it comes up to the time when there is something actually happening, these guys don't have it together. And you know what? That's a great picture of what happens with us too. You can go for long periods of time where nothing's really going on. Nothing's really happening. Nothing overt is taking place as far as you sharing with somebody or teaching somebody or that kind of thing. I don't think it should be like that, but there can be those periods of time. And then you just start getting lax. You don't really care about it. You're not prayed up. You haven't been really talking to the Lord. And you know how hard it is to tell somebody about how in love they're supposed to be with Jesus when you're not in love with Jesus? You know how hard it is to tell somebody how a walk with God goes where you just obey Him because you care about Him more than you care about yourself when you don't care about Him more than you care about yourself? Because we all know the message. We all know what a godly life is supposed to look like. And if I want to be able to communicate those things in a way that's for real, then I'm going to have it before I ever spout it out my mouth. And so there's got to be some purity that goes on there. There has to be a cleansing of the people. Right hearts are central to real worship. Right hearts are central to real worship. You know, there have been a number of people that have come out of the church and gone into the secular music world who have awesome voices and just over the top. And, you know, some of those are in the R&B area and that kind of thing, and it's stuff that I was familiar with. I'm not going to name names, but lots of people, especially women, have come out of church and just been excellent R&B artists. But, you know, when I look at their lifestyles and when I look at what's going on with them, I wonder if church was ever for real for them, or if they were just singing songs. And so again, it's something that we need to keep in mind when we're here and we're worshiping. It needs to be something that's really centered on the Lord, where it's a really for real thing, where I'm singing to Jesus and I'm not just singing a song that I like. There are a number of songs, actually, hopefully my aunt doesn't know the Lord. And so she came to church a couple of weeks ago. And it was pretty cool because afterwards she was crying, right? And, you know, obviously the Holy Spirit had been at work in her. And my aunt loves to sing. And so she came up when I brought my mom up to live with me and my wife. And she came up with her. And so we're in truck for 2 days driving up from Arizona. And so I'm taking opportunities to talk to them, and specifically, I'm doing the same thing with the radio. Well, it's Christmas time, right? And so I'm putting on the radio songs about Jesus. And so I don't like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I don't like Frosty the Snowman. I like the songs that actually speak about Jesus, and so, Oh Holy Night, that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking for stations that are just doing this stuff, because that stuff is nothing but worship music. And so it's very cool. And my aunt just loves to sing. And, you know, it was fun listening to her sing and stuff like that. But one of the things that I noticed when she was singing was she began to notice the difference. And I don't know, it was just a pretty cool thing. And she got more, it wasn't just singing. She started realizing, you know, I could tell that she was realizing the words that she was saying and that kind of thing, because we'd been having conversations about some different issues and that kind of thing. And it is really easy to come to church and love the songs and not really be singing them to the Lord. And so you have to watch out for that. There needs to be a real heart behind these things. So when you sing, are you singing to the Lord? You know my Luther quote. Christians don't tell lies, they sing them, right? Then it goes on and it talks about the fact that all these people start coming to the Lord. Verse 18, it says, for a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he's not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. One of the things that happens when revival is taking place, obviously the church gets revived. They fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with somebody, you start opening your mouth about them. You can't help yourself. That's the way that it goes. You can't stop talking about them because you're in love and you are a silly person running around talking about the love of your life. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. That's why people talk about Jesus, because they're in love with him. And so they go around talking about Jesus and they bring people in to meet the Lord. And that's one of the things that happens here routinely. We get people who walk in here who are just fresh out of the world and they have no idea what they're doing. They have no clue. Last Sunday, I'm teaching on the Ten Commandments, right? And we're going through and talking about, you know, having a biblical worldview on some basic things that come right out of the Ten Commandments. And afterwards, I got through about half my study, so I didn't do an invitation, and I invited people to come up and pray. And there was a couple that came up to pray with me. Actually, you know, they came up and they just bypassed all the guys and came walking up here. And what they came walking up for was to get saved. They didn't know that they came up to get saved, but that's what they did. You know, they came walking up to get saved, and they might as well have said, you know, walked up and said, sir, what must we do to be saved? Because that's how the conversation went. It was just this really cool thing. And, you know, they're talking to me about their life and their marriage, and, you know, they're having attitudes towards each other and that kind of thing. And they're just messy people. They were messy, right? But that's what happens when actual unbelievers get saved. They come walking in here and they're all messy. They got all this crud that's just hanging off them because they just came fresh out of the world. And it's one of those things that we need to keep in mind. You know, I have had times in my life where I look at certain groups. You know, there are things that just bug the snot out of me. And a lot of the things that just bug the snot out of me were things that I used to be. So there are things that I can spot a mile off. And when I see people who have those kinds of attitudes, you know, I immediately, I'm just like, that's what I want to be. You know, and I have to watch myself. God constantly is talking to me. Well, not constantly, but, you know, a lot of times, especially when I was a younger believer and especially a younger pastor, God would talk to me about where I came from. Don't you remember who you were, Steve? Don't you remember what you were like? Do you remember what kind of mess you were when you came? And it's something that we need to keep in mind. When I was first doing ministry, there were a lot of people, you know, this is in the 70s and the 80s, there were a lot of people who were coming out of the world who were just coming out of really goofy lifestyles. And they had a lot of stuff that they had to get straight before they just got normal. And again, it's something that you need to keep in mind. I was listening to, this is from a long time ago, we were talking about John Corson, Peter John, and John Corson's son during the sharing. And John Corson shared this one time that he's up in Oregon, and he is leading people to the Lord. And so he's doing a baptism. And so they're down, I believe it was in the Rogue River, and they're doing a baptism. And so all these people come down to get baptized, and some of them were hippies. And they were literally coming off communes. So there were all kinds of, this is back in the 70s, and so there's all kinds of communes down around this area in Oregon. And when they came down to get baptized, they just took their clothes off. So they didn't want to get their clothes wet, so they just took their clothes off and came down to get baptized naked. So they're all naked. And he was like, when he was telling the story, he told it at a retreat I was at this one time. When he was telling the story, he said, he looked up and all these people are taking their clothes off, and women and men taking their clothes off, and they're just standing there naked. And he's like, what do I do? You know? And so he just baptized them. So dipped them in the water, got them out as quick as he could, get your clothes back on, and that kind of thing. Revival's messy. You know, when non-Christians are getting saved, when non-Christians are coming to Jesus, they do all kinds of goofy things, and they're a mess. It's new life. That's the way that goes. You know, any of us that have had babies, you know, they're not civilized little people. You know, they just do what they want. And so, you know, it's like my son, when we would change his diaper, you had to watch out. You know, you take the diaper off and things would start shooting at you, and it's a scary thing. You're dodging and that kind of thing. And sometimes, you know, they weren't done when you took the diaper off and stuff came out the other end, and it was not good. They were messy. It's like, don't you know when can't you be done with going to the bathroom before I change your diaper? What's up with you? You know, and my little boy, I was just looking at the door in my bathroom, and we have marks in our house where our children have been. And so my little boy threw up in our bathroom and got it on the door into the toilet area. We have an area for the toilet. And so he got it on the door, and it was before I finished the door. And so there's a stain there where Nathan threw up on the door. You know, it's like, turn around and throw up in the toilet. You know, what are you going to throw up on the door for? What's your deal? And the deal is, he's like 3 years old and he's messy. You know, he's new. He doesn't know what he's doing. So new believers can be messy. In any case, everybody's worshiping God and God's just doing really cool things. And so what ends up happening is they keep the feast for 7 days. And in verse 23, it says, and the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days. And they kept it another 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep. And the leaders gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. The whole assembly of Judah rejoiced. Also the priests and Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Judah. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. So they're doing the Passover. They're doing it a month late because they were a month late in getting done with the revival. Actually, there's a passage in the book of Numbers that says that you could do that. So they're doing it a month late in the first place. And when they get done with the whole feast, they were like, that was fun. Let's do it again. Well, we could do it next year. Nah, let's do it next week. Let's do it again. That would be awesome for Christmas. That was fun. Let's do it again. In any case, they repeat the feast. And again, they're so excited that they end up extending the feast an extra 7 days. Then in chapter 31, you have again the cleansing of the land. It says, verse 1, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Now, up until this point, the idols that had been destroyed were in the southern kingdom and in the area around Jerusalem. Now what's happening is we have people who've come from the northern kingdom. That's Ephraim and Manasseh. They've come from the northern kingdom, and they're going back to their hometowns and destroying all these idols. The idols that got some of their family members kicked out and taken off to Assyria. And so what happens with the revival is they bring the revival back to their own cities. And so they are actually taking out the things that are offensive to God. These guys are not just do-gooders. They're not the Rotary Club type of service organizations. These are people who get rid of the idols and the abominations. And one of the things that we don't want to do as Christians is just be do-gooders. I like doing good for people. I like being hospitable to people. I like being kind to people and that kind of thing. But there are things that are offensive to God, and they need to go. And, you know, at the same time that I want to be kind to people and I want to meet their physical needs and that kind of thing, there are things that take place in a person's life that are just nothing but enslaving, and they need to go. It needs to be destroyed. So I need to destroy the stuff in my life that enslaves me. And if I'm going to be effective at taking the things that God has done with me into the lives of other people, I'm going to have to be a person who makes a stand on issues. And so, can you have that? My house is peaceful. And my house is honoring to God. And again, I just had a situation where my aunt, my mom came up, and those are things that they've said. You know, my aunt specifically talked over and over. In fact, she said some stuff to some people in our fellowship about the peace that she felt in my home. You know what I think about that? You know, when she was saying that, and she said some things like that to me too. And I was like, I'm kind of like, well, what are you talking about? And I know what she's talking about, but it's like, it's just normal to me. And I had, you know, I've been out of the world for a very long time, and I've forgotten how chaotic homes are that aren't following Jesus. I've forgotten how filled with drama they are, how many bad attitudes people have in situations like that, and just how junky it is. And I've had some reminders, you know, over the last couple of weeks, not because anybody's done anything, but just because they've said those things to me. Your house is peaceful. It's like, you know, my aunt specifically was just blown away, you know, just by my home, just by my normal life, you guys, my normal life. It's me and my wife and my son. My daughter was down in California. She couldn't come up because of work. Maybe that's why it was so peaceful. No, she's great too. But, you know, we're just living life and doing the things that we do, and, you know, invited some family members over for Christmas, and we just had a great time, and it was just fun. And, you know, it was just normal. And all they can think about is how peaceful it is and how nice it was. And my aunt was talking about, I would love to live here, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's because of the work that God does in a person's life and getting rid of the junk. And when the junk is out of your home, when the junk is out of your life, it makes a real impact on the people who are around you who have nothing but junk going on. And this has happened a number of times in my life. You know, when I was younger and had a high school girl living with Bobby and I, she got kicked out of her home, and I've talked about her before. But one of the things that she always said about us, she still says this about us, is you guys are practically perfect. And we're not practically perfect, and Bobby and I still have fights and arguments. She's usually wrong, and she won't admit it, but we still have fights and we have arguments and that kind of thing. And this girl even saw some of those, but she thought that we were practically perfect. I guess we fought perfectly.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.